The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
it's a welcome to you all. Some of you, I know we're here last week, some maybe not always welcome to visitors too. Just as I did last week, just one or two things. We don't use the kneelers because it means everyone's got to then be cleaned afterwards and with the seats and everything. So if you could sit or stand at the point that you would normally kneel, the Lord, I'm sure, will be happy with that. When we get to the time of communion, if this side come first, directed by the stewards, but I think it works quite easily, you're first and then you go that way, then you come out and then the chapel, if you go round the back as we always used to do, and if you wish to light candles and you're on this side, if you come out to the front and go that away, so you're not conflicting with people trying to walk out that way. And always just remember social distancing at all time. And it's great to see you again. We know we're very conscious of those that are still staying in isolation, still staying at home, but we hear, and that's great. As ever, when we come to the Lord always challenging us, as you can see from the front of the newsletter, what kind of soil are we? What he means by that, are we, you know, the parable of the sower, which we shall hear, then are we the rich soil that produced good fruit? For the times we fail, we acknowledge our sins. Lord Jesus, you were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners to repentance. Christ, have mercy. You intercede for us at the right hand of God the Father. Lord, have mercy. And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, bring us to everlasting life. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who, for the faith they profess, are accounted Christians, the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honour. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and do not return without watering the earth, making it yield and giving growth to provide seed for the sower and bread for the eating, so the word that goes from my mouth does not return to me empty without carrying out my will and succeeding in what it was sent to do. The word of the Lord. Some seed fell into rich soil and produced its crop.
Some seed fell into rich soil and produced its crop.
You care for the earth, give it water, you fill it with riches. Your river in heaven brims over to provide its grain.
Some seed fell into rich soil and produced its crop.
And thus you provide for the earth, you drench its furrows, You level it, soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness. Abundance flows in your steps. In the pastures of the wilderness, it flows. The hills are girded with joy, the meadows covered with flocks, the valleys are decked with wheat. They shout for joy, yes, they sing. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I think that what we suffer in this life can never be compared to the glory, as yet unrevealed, which is waiting for us. The whole creation is eagerly waiting for God to reveal his sons. It was not for any fault on the part of creation that it was made unable to attain its purpose. It was made so by God. But creation still retains the hope of being freed, like us, from its slavery to decadence, to enjoy the freedom and glory as the children of God. From the beginning till now, the entire creation, as we know, has been groaning in one great act of giving birth. And not only creation, but all of us who possess the first fruits of the Spirit, we too groan inwardly as we wait for our bodies to be set free. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You have the message of eternal life. Alleluia.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. I've got the fuller version, you've only got the cut down one. Jesus left the house and sat by the lakeside, but such crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat there. The people all stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. He said, imagine a sower going out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the edge of the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Others fell on patches of rock, where they found little soil, and sprang up straight away, because there was no depth of earth. But as soon as the sun came up, they were scorched, and not having any roots, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Others fell on rich soil and produced their crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, anyone who has ears. Then the disciples went up to him and asked, why do you talk to them in parables? Because, he replied, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are revealed to you, but they're not revealed to them. For anyone who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The reason I talk to them in parables is that they look without seeing and listen without hearing or understanding. So in their case, this prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You will listen and listen again, but not understand. See and see again, but not perceive. For the heart of this nation has grown coarse. Their ears are dull of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, for fear they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed by me. But happy are your eyes, because they see, your ears hear, because they hear. I tell you solemnly, many prophets and holy men longed to see what you see and never saw it, to hear what you hear and never heard it. You, therefore, are to hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom without understanding, the evil one comes and carries off what is sown in his heart. This is the man who received the seed on the edge of the path. The one who received it on the patches of rock is the man who hears the word and welcomes it at once with joy. But he has no root in him. He does not last. Let some trial come or some persecution on account of the word, and he falls away at once. The one who received the seed in thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this world and the lure of riches choke the word, and so he produces nothing. And the one who receives the seed in rich soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He is one who yields a harvest and produces now 100-fold, now 60, now 30. The Gospel of the Lord. They sometimes print the shorter version because they can't get all of it in, as it were, on the news stretcher. But it's right we hear the word, because words, words, words. That's our basic way of communicating with each other, because you can communicate in other ways. But words, you think of the sheer amount of words that are on our computers or on the smartphones, whatever device we use to communicate. Even when you're texting, it's words. We use words for almost all of them. And of course, words or way, or one way or another, communicating with each other matters so much in life. That was sort of the difficulty for some people in isolation. If you've no one to ring up to, no one to email, or no one texting you at all, no one to speak to. You see, we do sort of matter very much, this communication with each other. Well, at the start of this year, following Pope Francis's instructions, we celebrated a Sunday of the Word of God. And the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales designated this year the God who speaks, the year of the Word. And that was because it marked the 10th anniversary of Verbum Domini, which was produced by Pope Dement about the Word of God, and also the 1600th anniversary of St. Jerome's death. St. Jerome lived latterly in Bethlehem, and in the cave next to the Grotto of the Nativity, he translated all the scriptures into the Latin Vulgate. And it was a great privilege when we were there on pilgrimage to be able to celebrate a mass in that cave that St. Jerome, as it were, translated the scriptures. But of course, in January, we never thought that for a good part of the following months until now, we'd be in lockdown, deprived of the sacraments, but always able to read and to communicate, hear the Word of God. So you could live stream, I know many of you did, you heard the words proclaimed, you hear whoever it was expounding that word, and you read it for yourselves, whatever. Because the ministry of the word is always an important part of any sacrament, but particularly, of course, of the Mass, because it's the Word of God that's guiding us through life. For every Christian, that guide in life is Jesus. And that's why we hear what he says to us, particularly as he sat on that boat with this parable. And it's important because the clamour of voices coming at us is constant. It never ends, whether it's whatever communication it is. Things are coming at us all the time. And he, for the Christian, is the leader and guide that we follow. And Bible Live today says, Jesus is an expert teacher. His parables are stories for all times. They reveal a mind of greater depth and clarity than ever before or ever since known in human history. Jesus' parables give you just enough of the original setting to make you do your own thinking for your own time and your own situation. Us today, listening to it as those gathered on the shores of Galilee as they sat in that boat that particular day. But the themes today are interwoven in the readings so that there's potential fruitfulness of the soil. That's why the newsletter at front says, what kind of soil are you? But the power of divine word within that. So that first reading from Isaiah, a short reading, but he's writing at the time of exile. The people are in Babylon, and which of course is modern day Iraq. They've been put there in exile for the years. And it brings out, in a way, by a simile, that first picture of growth through the reign and the snow. Doesn't mention the sun. And one of the commentators said, that's because in that part of the world, that's taken for granted. Not in ours, but in theirs it was. So they mentioned the rain because the sun they knew would shine. But the second applies to the power of God's word, because he said, just as the sun and rain come down, so my word is powerful. The sun and rain come to the soil, water the earth. The word of God comes to us. And there's that power there. And what Isaiah's saying is that the word of God that you'd heard when you were in your exile in Babylon, while it's been going on, as we have heard while we've been in lockdown as well, is that promise of God's deliverance of his people. So it's picked up in the psalm, which is really a harvest psalm. And again, they bring out the point, this time of year is very much harvest time there. But we see, all that you go out and all those big, you know, the lorries with all the things on bringing the harvest in from our fields in Cornwall, of course. But giving praise to God for the, as the giver of fertility. Again, we see that the giving of the rain was regarded as a special mark of divine favour. Because see, what they worried about was not being scorched by the sun, although they were used to that, but the lack of rain that we know about just occasionally, not too much usually. And so that rain, a mark of the divine favour on his people. And then that second reading, you think it's not linked, but it does, because it's got reference to fruits. But it's the reference is the fruits that grow from within us, the fruits of the Spirit that guide the Christian life. And for St. Paul, as for the rest of the New Testament, harvest language is commonly used, not for its own sake, but as an illustration of the power of God working in the unfruitful soil of the human heart. And Paul is bringing that to a cosmic scale. He speaks of the whole of creation groaning inwardly. So it's the whole of created order, which he said is meaningless and vain apart from Christ. And to all outward appearances, nothing has changed, but he's confident that through the life and death of Jesus, everything has been changed. The whole of creation. That's why you see the Easter Vigil. The first reading is of the creation. And that creation is renewed through the death and resurrection of the Lord. But at the same time, he says there's with much to wait for the future. He speaks about groaning inwardly that we know about. And yet the first signs of new life are always around us. There's always new life, new growth going on. So we come then to the parable. And it's in all three Gospels, all Matthew, Mark and Luke, all bring this parable of the sower into their sections, into their Gospels, and falling into the three sections. Don't always follow as logically as Matthew, but they're all there. That's why we had the whole of it, not just the first little bit that you've only got, but the whole of that, the Gospel. Because many of those who heard Jesus, he says, were unfruitful. They listened to him, but the sort of soil they were meant the word didn't take root in them. And so when he's said the parable, he then goes to unpack for them that concern of the disciples alone that speak to him, explaining the purpose of the parables and the reason for the failure for so many to respond. And here a contrast is drawn between those within the church and those outside at the time Matthew is writing. Because the third section seems to be addressed to those like those of us here that are listening to it. But the rest of people outside not listening. And warning given that even those who, such as us, receive the word don't necessarily bear good fruit unless we're constantly coming to the Lord, being refreshed and renewed and acknowledging the failures and building on that. So we can be on rocky ground, thorns, even within the Christian family. And of course, on a level, it leads to understanding why Jesus rejected, because they'd heard the word, but they'd not accepted it, and they're not really taken it in. And so, of course, it leads ultimately, of course, to crucifixion. So it's a good reflection. See, why did his teaching ministry, preaching campaign, end up so unsuccessfully? Because they weren't prepared to listen. And that can be any society around us. I'll come back to that. Because Matthew is writing at the time that severe persecution has just broken out. I think he's writing maybe just after Peter and Paul had been martyred, the first martyrs of Rome, Nero blaming all the problems of Roman society on the Christians, so therefore let's persecute them. And so that leads, and that's the background to the way Matthew is writing. And it can be for our own times too. Why is there a fall off in church attendance, as far as we can discern, in faith? What is going on? What's it going to be like at the end, if we never get to the end of the coronavirus, in years ahead? It may be years before we see all the fallout from that. The ideas of the kingdom, the ideals of the kingdom are very noble and attractive. Why have they such little influence in an increasingly secular, materialistic and promiscuous culture? Or what is it that sparks off the raging cries of criticism in the media when one of the bishops or something makes a public statement? How is it that some people, and we know this, can come incandescent almost with rage at the very mention of church or religion? People do think life will be different after this is moved on, or whatever next appears after this. And Pope Francis, our reminder, speaks about the whole era is changing. It's a whole change of era. Well, Matthew's experience of that virulent opposition from the scribes throws light on some of the vehemence outbursts of post-Christian media pundits today. So all that comes together. But the good news at the end of it is that in spite of the obstacles, in spite of hostility, in spite of the poor soil, in spite of rejection and the thorns and all that, God's kingdom grows and his harvest is sure as his grace. And that promise is very clearly, you see, comes out in that first reading. That short though it was, it's very real, because Isaiah is saying that and the Lord's affirming that. Without carrying out my will, succeeding what it would do. There may be hostile soil in hard hearts, shallow minds, and a culture that chokes spirituality. But the disciples of Jesus hear the good news, see the exciting good things that are happening, and understand, what soil are we? And so we affirm the good news of Jesus as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And as ever, there was still said no bidding prayers, but as you sit quietly, you can be reflecting, bringing all the different intentions on your hearts and minds to the Lord. And my particular intention this Mass is the repose of Anne Stone. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine, work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look upon the offerings of the Church, O Lord, as she makes her prayer to you, and grant that when consumed by those who believe, they may bring ever greater holiness through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God. For we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you come to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity, and even fashion for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. Through him, the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We others remain standing or sit. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, the blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with Saint Benedict and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Mark, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, the entire people you've gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours for ever and ever. The Saviour's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Just acknowledge each other. Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. And the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, says the Lord. Let us pray. Having consumed these gifts, we pray, O Lord, that by our participation in this mystery, its saving effects upon us may grow through Christ our Lord. As you probably see, I did say I'd repeated from last week the whole bit about the churches open again, because if people, and maybe I'll keep it another week, so that we get familiar with some of the new changes that will be here for a little while until life never go back to what it was, but wherever we are. But we will hope in the next week or two sort out the 200 Club, because we still have the big draw from April to do, and we do want to do it with a few of you there. So if it's a nice Sunday evening, you could go into the garden. I've got hail, of course, and another week or two, because we can never say, you see, they could guarantee the sun where they were in Jesus' day. We can't hear. If we choose a day, you can guarantee. And don't forget, it's St. Swithin's Day during the week. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go announce the gospel of the Lord.